It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. We're live from the Racing Boys studio, and we got a good show lined up for you today. Donnie Schatz, 10-time World of Outlaws champion, is going to join us. He just picked up his 11th Knoxville Nationals. He will be joining us here in just a little bit on the show. Looking forward to talking to Donnie today about that 11th Knoxville Nationals win, and I'm sure he's real excited about that. There's plenty going on this weekend, folks. We've got a lot to talk about today on the show. Austin, how you doing today? You doing all right?
Yeah. I was just thinking to myself.
What were you thinking?
My response to that question every day, I think it's about the same.
What is it? What's the question?
How am I doing, or how's my day going? And it's either good or yeah.
Yeah. You've got to get out in the world a little bit more often, Austin. Yeah, I've got a feeling that you might end up being a hermit when you grow older. Is there any possibility that could happen? Seriously, how often? Listen, let me just ask you a question, and we love you around here, but I just got to say. How often do you go out at night with your friends? How often do you do that? Once a week?
Once or twice a week, and that's a Friday night and a Saturday night.
At the races.
On occasion, Sunday
only at
night.
The races, right?
At the races.
You don't do anything during the week. You don't hang out. You don't do anything.
No.
Why is that, Austin? Come on, let's get a little deep into this conversation today. I want to ask you about that. Why are you such a inverted person? Why are you like that? How come? Because you're the opposite on the radio. You do an excellent job here when we're doing the show. And when I ask you to talk, when me and you communicate back and forth, everything's fine. But during the week, you don't watch TV. You don't go out with your friends. You only go to the races. I need a little explanation. Break it down
that's
for
just,
me.
That's just
what break
I,
it down
that's
for
just
me.
What I do, I guess. I don't know.
Why?
That's just
a kid 19 years old should be out running around with his buddies. You don't have any use
no,
for that.
No, because all my friends live an hour and a half, 2 hours away. I make all my friends at the racetrack, and
yeah,
I got friends in Iowa, Kansas, Nebraska, Sedalia area, the lake area.
Yeah.
I can go out there. I'm not driving 2 hours every night.
Right. Well, maybe your friends should drive.
We're too busy working on our own stuff, so.
Well, that's true.
Got to set some priorities around here.
But you haven't been working on your stuff lately. Have you been working on your car lately?
I worked on it a couple nights ago.
What'd you do to it?
I did some front-end work on it, re-greased bars, cleaned up the axle, went through the hubs, repacked everything. So it's pretty much getting its winterized, maintenance to it. Just, working every once in a while. Sometimes I come home and I don't want to do anything. I just go sit on the computer. I start working.
Or race.
Yeah.
Or race on the computer.
Or I'm doing video work for here, or just,
Yeah. Well, we keep you a little bit busy around here. Your job isn't too demanding around here, is it? Not that bad.
No.
No, not really. Nina. You gotta love Nina, man. She always chimes in. She's all about Austin O'Neill, just so you know. She said, Austin is smart. I don't hang out a lot either. Austin might be talked out at the end of the day. Do you feel like you get all your talking in during the show? Is that what you do? And then you don't have to do it the rest of the day? Is that it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I could agree with that. I You know,
you get everything done here.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to talk the rest of the day.
I know. I've said what I need to say, and I do what it's, you know, I guess expected of me, and that's it. Get ready for the next day.
Yeah. Tammy's chiming in. She says three straight days of racing, chasing my husband and I, Bridgeport, New Jersey tonight, Williams Grove tomorrow, the All-Stars, and Saturday to Port Royal for the Lucas Oil late models. Man, that sounds like a good time, doesn't it? That's some pretty good stuff right there.
Yeah, that should be a fun weekend.
Yeah.
This is, you know, we just had the Nationals, which is, you know, a good time for sprint car fans. And, you know, you had a week at Jackson, and now it's like you would expect, you know, these, like, big events and, like, big race weekends to start, like, dying down now and just go back to, like, a one-day show or a two-day show.
Yeah.
But you look at it, we got SmackDown starting tonight. We have those races we just touched on. And then the big month in Pennsylvania starting, you know, next week. So it's you know.
And you've got the World of Outlaw late models. They're going to be running in Davenport, which is.
Right. And then you got the Outlaws up north, too. So,
yeah.
You know, you expect this to end at some point, but I'm glad that's not.
Yeah. The sprint car is going to be running at River City Speedway, right? Isn't that right?
I believe so.
Yeah. Yeah. So that would be good. How about Ryan Timms? He's going to make his debut with the World of Outlaws this weekend. What do you think? How do you think that's going to shake out?
I'll be very interested to see how Ryan does.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I think, can Ryan make the show? I'm not sure. Let me pull up. I think they had probably a full field last year. I think he can make the show. I do too. Capable of maybe a top 15 finish.
Car count's going to play into that a little bit.
Yeah,
right?
You'll grab some of your NOSA cars along with your, I think it's 13 or 14 full-time cars. So, and then you might get a couple that, you know, might drive up there, but I'm going to say anywhere from like 20 to 24 is my guess. I think he could be a solid top 15 car if he just does place his cards right, you know, you go in there and do it the right way, or you could do it the wrong way. I think the right way to do it for Ryan is just go there, you know, get your experience, make your laps, don't do anything to get anybody, you know, mad at you or ruffle anybody's feathers. Just go in, make your laps.
Do your thing.
Bring it back home in one piece,
yeah.
And come race the next night.
Yeah.
You know, it's you know, we know that he can do it, but just don't put yourself in a position that's not going to work out for you.
Do you think qualifying is where he's going to be lacking a little bit, maybe?
Yeah, I think they might.
I think so.
You know, because you look at, like, when they went and ran Knoxville, right. You know, they kind of struggled in their qualifying package. Granted, that was a half mile, so maybe they can qualify a little bit better on their short track package. But, yeah, I think, you know, maybe the experience of not doing it all the time, you know, might kind of hinder him. But
right.
That little bull ring, you just go out there and just, you know, full sail send it for two laps and hope you don't make any mistakes and, you know, you nail it and have two good laps.
Frog, he's chiming in. He said, Austin needs to... Listen, Frog. I don't know if you know this, but when you type in capital letters, that means you're screaming at us. Isn't that right, Austin? Isn't that what that means when you type in capital letters, that you're yelling at us, right?
Yelling or excited.
Or very excited. He says, Austin needs to read a book called 1 Minute Manager, Easy Read, Gives Perspective to Life, Easy Read. Frogman watching. Caleb, he chimes in. You know, always appreciate Caleb. He's here every day, man, and so is Tammy, and we appreciate you guys so much. Tim should debut should be good. I'll peg him for a top 10. River Cities is an exciting track. I don't know if I'm going that far. Are you going to – would you bet that Ryan Timms could run in the top 10 his first World of Outlaw race? Do you think so? I can't go that far.
I mean
– I believe in Jimmy Jones.
I'm not going to rule him out, but, you know, if it happens, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to put any money on it.
Yeah.
You know, River Cities is is a track that will fit his wheelhouse and his driving, you know,
I've
really
never
well.
Seen it's, that racetrack. Tell me a little bit about it.
If it's the one I'm thinking of, it's where Larson and Schuchart had a really close finish maybe a year or two ago.
Yeah.
And it came down right to the line, and it's kind of reminds me of like maybe a Husetts with more banking in it with no walls. So pretty Whoa. Wide as well. So
high big, bank, little track with yeah, no walls.
Big sliders, you know, constantly in traffic. It should be a really exciting race. It should it always puts on good racing no matter, you know, really what's there.
Yeah. Did you watch that All-Star race last night?
I got to catch the highlights of it.
Yeah? What'd you think? Justin Peck, he put it on him a little bit last night, didn't he?
He did. When I was scrolling through social media last night and I saw that Peck won, I was really not surprised. They found something. Him and the Buick Motorsports 13 team have found something here recently. And he's been really good. He's been good all year long. I just feel like it's maybe a little being shown a little more right now. You know, he picked up a win. But Utica Rome and just dominated up there. I felt like drove by what you could probably say is the two hottest sprint car drivers either last year and this year with Sunshine and Brent Marks. So, you know, I think if he can keep this up, I'm not sure what the points look like. But I mean, if Sunshine has a couple bad nights, I mean, and you know, Justin Peck can keep his momentum up, he might be a contender for the championship. I know the season's going to end at the start of October. At the start of October. So, you know, if he's kind of far back, you know, it's a good time to be fast. But, you know, Bloomsburg is kind of an interesting track. It's, you know, it's flat and it's really dirty. And it was kind of one lane. You look at, you know, how many cars each driver passed. And there's probably only three or four cars that made big gains. You know, maybe you have one or two that passed one car or so. Yeah. But or everybody else kind of went backwards. But, yeah, the track was just kind of weird. It was really dusty, kind of narrow. And didn't really, you know, produce, you know, a lot of big, you know, passes and moves. But, you know, Justin Peck had a, you know, knew that coming into the event and knew he needed to have a good starting spot in the feature. And, you know, did that in the dash with a, you know, five to first run. So just made his night pretty easy.
You know, Justin Peck said it afterwards. It was a great win for him last night. On that restart, on that final restart, did you think that Sunshine was going to run him down there a little bit? Because he closed up on him on those last couple laps. Did you think he was going to get him?
Yeah, he kind of closed up on him. I'm not sure if he would have been able to get by him or not. Like I said, it was just kind of, it was right around the tires, about a car, two car widths wide. I mean, you could run side by side through it, but you really couldn't. They kind of got the traffic there at the end, so it would have been interesting. I don't think he could have done really much with them, just with it being dirty. You couldn't make a run on the top or in the fluff because it just would kind of bog you down. And
it was rough, too.
Yeah, it was a little rough, too, yeah, and there wasn't a whole lot on the bottom because, like I said, it's only wide enough to get probably two cars through the groove or you'd be, you know, eating tractor tires. But,
yeah,
he's just, you know, he was, you know, graced with, you know, good track position at the end of the race.
Yeah. Oh, Anthony Macri kind of showed his hand a little bit last night. He started fourth. He ended up running third last night. You know, I didn't really realize that some people are not Double D fans, Danny Dietrich fans.
You just not notice that?
I just noticed that. Why is that? Why is he not a – maybe I need to ask Tammy. Maybe she could explain that. But I don't understand why Double D is not a fan favorite. Can you tell me that a little bit, Austin? Do you know why? Or do you have you got an idea why?
Yeah, I've only been following Danny for, you know, probably 2 years now. When he came to Knoxville last year, I got a shirt, and that's when I've been kind of paying attention to him. But
yep.
The best I can say about Danny is he's kind of like Aaron Reitzel of Pennsylvania. Just kind of that guy that's not going to put up with a lot. He's not afraid to wheel you or just, you know, run over the top of you. And he's just kind of a no BS guy. He's just not going to take anything from you. And he drives that way too. So that's what I think is, you know, a factor of that. Like I said, I haven't been following Danny a whole lot here recently or just started following him. So I don't know his whole story, but I know that there's people out there that probably do.
Yeah. Tammy chimed in. She said the PA Posse fans either love him or hate him. No in between, especially at Lincoln. He states his mind. You know, maybe that's it. Maybe because he speaks his mind, that's why people don't like him. You know, because as we know, some people don't like what we have to say on the radio sometimes, right? Or on this podcast. Some people just don't like when people have opinions. And maybe that's the reason why. I don't know. Dietrich is considered a heel in Pennsylvania. I don't know enough about him. Good driver. That's what Dave Tyson says. So I want to chime in here a little bit what Tammy said as well. She said the track at Bloomsburg was a mess. I feel sorry for the Bloomsburg Fair Board. They've spent over $1 million to open the track last year. Nothing has gone right for them. As it scrolls up here, let me look at this again. And nothing has gone right for them between the weather, dust, fighting the neighbors, and lack of attendance. That's never good.
No, and, you know, I remember when they announced they're going to build a track out there and, you know, how excited the town was to have that track, you know, come back and bring racing to that community. That's just it's unfortunate that, you know, they're going through that, and hopefully they can figure something out and make it, you know, make it better than what it is. I think if everything was perfect at that track, it would be a really good race for anything that goes there. It's just the way it's shaped, the size of it, the character it has in it. But, you know, all I can do is hope it gets better in the future.
Let's be fair, though. They did have 2 inches of rain the day before, right? I mean, they had a ton of rain there. That's what they were saying on the broadcast, that they had a ton of rain there the day before. So if that is the case, we got to give them a little bit of a break on the racetrack.
Yeah, for sure. But you also have to call it how it is, too. You know, if it's, you know, super rough, you just can't, you know, say it's, you know, not that, I guess, but
lack of preparation, because that wasn't the case.
It
looked really wet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not dogging them at all. You just, right, like I said, calling it how it is, and, you know, you just hope it's better in the future.
Yeah.
That's about it.
So, Peck ends up winning that race. Did you notice that he had a Jesse Hockett sticker on his car in that post-race interview? Did you see that?
I'm looking at the website right now, and it has the picture on the header shows, you know, Jesse's
sticker. It's this sticker right here. That same sticker.
Yeah, we get all those stickers at Jesse's Memorial Race at Lucas Oil, which will be going in about a month now, maybe a little less than a month. But I'm pretty sure someone smarter than me that might know this, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure Jesse drove for that team back in maybe a year or two, 3 years before he passed away.
I think the owner of that team was part of Jesse's team when he was the 13 car.
Yeah,
right?
So yeah. I'm pretty sure, because if you look at, I'm pretty sure that he was a part of that somehow. So
yeah,
I think that's just kind of a memorial to him and, you know, honoring Jesse's legacy with being a part of that team.
Yeah. Did you ever meet Jesse?
No.
You never did.
Nope. Met Jack. Jack's pretty cool.
Jack is a good guy. You know, me and him share the same birthday.
Really?
Yeah. So he's a little older than me. So overall, what did you think of that race last night? How would you grade that out? Did you think it was pretty good?
I give it a C.
A C. Just because Peck kind of snuck it up a little bit? Because at one point he was a second and a half out in the lead, right?
Yeah, I would give it a C just due to the track conditions that we had to deal with. I think the racing was, you know, as good as what we could have expected for that track. Like I said, there wasn't a whole lot of passing. I mean, my paper fell. Only seven cars, you know, went forward in that race.
Well, Peck started on the pole.
Yeah.
Courtney started sixth. Macri started fourth. Danny Dietrich started third, and he ran fourth. And Kyle Reinhart, he ended up fifth, and
right,
he started second. So all the guys that were running up towards the front, and if you go back to Zeb Weiss running seventh, all those guys started in the top ten.
Yeah, and there wasn't like a, I mean, you look at Bill Baglog came from 15th to 9th. You know, Mark Smith came from 14th to 10th. And, you know, for cars in the top 10, only six of them, you know, went forward. And, you know, only, you know, three of them started in the top 10. So, you know, I think if track was a little bit better, we could, you know, kind of boost up its rating to maybe a B or so. But, you know, the way it was, it's just,
yeah,
got to give it a C.
Right. All right. So Tyler Courtney, here's the bad thing about Justin Peck winning last night. Tyler Courtney runs second. That doesn't do Justin Peck much good at all because he's still 114 points out of the lead right now. Cap Henry is 258 points out of the lead. Zeb Weiss is 338 points out of the lead. And in the final guy in the top five, Hunter Schoenberg, is 378 points out of the lead. I think only the only guy that really has a chance to win this championship is Justin Peck, right? Outside of Tyler Courtney?
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
It's just going to take some bad luck on Courtney's side and some really good luck on Peck, you know, to get him closer. It's just, you know, winning and having him run second's not going to help you a lot, like you said. So,
right.
Yeah, maybe, you know, we don't ever want to see anybody, you know, get torn up, but it, you know, nights where, you know, Sunshine gets caught up in a wreck and is, you know, either out of the race or in the back of the field and Peck can win is the nights that, you know, Peck needs. But, you know, we'll see what happens in the month of September. We got a lot of racing coming up, so you never know what can happen.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Donnie Schatz is scheduled to join us here on the show. We're going to reach out to him here in just a moment. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, more Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor. There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. And if you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Joining us now on the show is a driver that just picked up his 11th Knoxville Nationals win and $175,000. We welcome Donnie Schatz to the show. Donnie, how you doing?
I'm doing good. You?
I'm doing all right, man. Not near as good as you. You got to feel good about that, picking up that 11th Knoxville Nationals.
Yeah, it's been a, you know, it's a great finish in week after the last couple seasons, the way they've gone. So it feels good to be, you know, back in contention for in the bigger races. You know, we had a decent run at the Kings Royal and ended up second. And, you know, the Knoxville is ultimately the one everyone wants to win, including us. And, you know, we ran second to Kyle last year. So it was a little bit of reprieve for being able to get the job done here.
Yeah. What, Donnie, in the last, I don't know, I would say month and a half, 2 months, we've seen a lot of speed out of your car. What can you contribute that to? Because it sure seems like you found something.
You know, the engine development program, obviously everything revolves around the way the engines run. And, you know, when you're out on the island by yourself and you're trying to work through things single-handedly, sometimes it takes you a little bit longer than what you expect or what you really want. But, you know, there's a lot of factors that come into it. You know, the time of the year, obviously, when we start out in Florida, the air is a different quality than it is in the summer. And when it gets hot in the summer, the air is not as good. So, you know, horsepower is more key because you're down on power quite a bit. And that's one thing that we have an abundance of is horsepower. So, you know, the guys have done a phenomenal job, led by Steve Swenson, Scuba, everybody knows him as.
Right.
You know, they're diligently having communication calls every Monday and Tuesday with the Ford engineers and Ron Shaver and myself, trying to make sure we keep the communication where we got a direction and we know the path that we just came down. And, you know, we've maybe lacked that a little bit the last couple of years, but at least we got a good handle on it the last couple of months. And guys are just doing a phenomenal job at reacting to, you know, what new products we get and what new combinations we get in the motor department.
Right. I want to talk to you about your technique on the way that you approach the gas pedal in your car. You have a different kind of technique. Talk about that and how coming into figuring out how to drive this car with all this horsepower. I want to talk about how you operate your foot on the gas pedal a little bit. Can you share that with us a little bit?
Well, it's not about how your foot is on the gas pedal. It's about how you keep the tires caught up. You can't have the tires just frying all the time and spinning without having some sort of you know, having them connected to something. And it's not just the rear tires, you know, they got to work in conjunction with the fronts as well, which don't drive. So,
right,
you know, the way that I was taught to race back in the day is, you know, it was put to me pretty simple, man. All the big races are in the summer. What happens in the summer? The tracks get slicker and they get slower.
Right.
And you got to keep your tires on the car, and that's when the money's on the line. And, you know, it forced us real hard to work on those type of techniques and how to keep the tires caught up. And, you know, you can fine-tune one thing, which we did for years, and we had a good program. But when you change it and you do something different that has a whole totally different power curve, it's not as simple as just saying, well, we'll make the power curve like what we had. You can't, because that's like comparing the taste of apples and oranges. It's just two completely different machines, two different beasts. And that's something that everyone at Ford and everyone at TSR has tried real hard, because they know I like to be able to have total control of the motor instantaneously all the time. And that's something we've lacked, is when I do lift on the gas, the motor doesn't slow down with my foot, which is probably more important than the motor, you know, going down with your foot and accelerating. So there's just two things that we've worked extremely hard on. You know, not me personally, I can give the feedback, and then Scuba and Ron Shaver and everybody that's involved with the whole program is worked on that, you know, diligently to try to make sure that I have the motor connected to my foot. And, you know, a lot of guys don't do it that way, and it works for them. But obviously, it's the way I am. And they realize when they get it right that we're in a position where we're a contender to win a lot of races.
Right. You fell back to sixth at one point during the first half. I think you talked about the wheel spin a little bit too much in the first half of that race. But you came in, and Scoob, he kind of – you said you didn't say anything to him, and that's a signal to him that you're not happy. Talk about that at the halfway break and what you guys did there a little bit.
Well, we had changed some stuff up in the fuel system, the nozzles, to try to get the motor to drive a little bit better, but it actually didn't make it drive better. It made it so the track was speeded up when we started, and we detuned and got rid of a bunch of horsepower. And, you know, it wasn't something that was – even though nozzles are simple, they're not simple on an open red.
Right.
That's too much to change. So we basically were, you know, run out, had the motor run out too hard to where it wouldn't keep up when we were running around the top at the beginning of the race. And guys were even driving by on the bottom. And, you know, it was a bit frustrating. But the dynamic of that race changes so much over the course of 50 laps. And, you know, when we stopped, when you're back in sixth and you started third, you know, you don't really feel like you have the world's best chance at it. But, you know, he knew we needed to make some adjustments to the car. We changed some shocks. We changed some weight. We did a lot of things that we had already had pre-planned, because the racetrack was pretty speeded up when we started. But, you know, it was just – that's how we race. I mean, he knows when I don't say nothing that it's – we need to take a big swing at it. And he took a big swing at it, and it worked. So, you know, after we got about 10 or 12 laps into that, the last segment there, the last 25 laps of the race, you know, the track kind of came to us, really, is what happened. The car didn't go to the track. The track came where it slowed down. It was really hard to hit the bottom, but yet it was too far around the top and too thin for us to be able to run it. So we stayed committed to that bottom line and somehow made it work. And we just got David at the right time and made sure we didn't show a nose to where he didn't have the opportunity to move and move around the racetrack. And at that point, you know, it was just try to make good laps to the end, and that's what we did.
Don't you think the bottom is always where you need to be towards the end of the Knoxville Nationals? It always seems to me that everybody migrates down to the bottom towards the end of the race. Is that your plan going into the race, eventually working your way to the bottom?
You go ahead and say that, but that's not gospel. I mean, we won the race on the top. I mean, you can go back through the years. It just depends how they change the track, and the track changes every year.
Gotcha.
You know, everybody, the tires change every year. So it just happened to be the case in 22, but it might not be the case come next year. So
right.
you can't take that as gospel that the bottom's always right. I mean, there's been a lot of races won there on the bottom, yes, but, you know, that's the 11th time I've been fortunate enough to win it, and we've won a majority of them on the top, too. So
I got you.
I don't know what else you say about it. You just have to – and it depends how the track's prepped. And the Knoxville did a phenomenal job all week of having it consistent, which is – you know, on the prelim night, it's always tougher to go the first night, we always feel like, but that always seems to be the night we're up, so we just go. And, you know, they had it really consistent for both them qualifying nights, which worked out in everybody's favor for being equal. So it was great to see that.
You know, the Duncans are always so good at preparing that racetrack up there. I don't think they get enough credit for what they do up there.
Well, it's kind of a double-edged sword. You know, Tony Stewart hires me to drive his race car and win races. And if I don't win races, I don't expect a pat on the back. And even when I do, it's what's expected of me. So I don't pat myself on the back. So, you know, that's the way it goes. This is big-time auto racing at the dirt level. And, you know, it is a thankless job. There's no question about it. You get criticized a lot on all fronts, but at the end of the day, it's not a job I would want to do in any way, shape, or form, because it's really a science.
We're visiting with 10-time World of Outlaw champion Donnie Schatz. Were you concerned about the right rear? You were able to look at some of the other guys that were running around you at the time. Were you a little concerned about the right rear on the car towards the end of that race?
No, because you can change tires at the stoppage, and obviously we did do that. I think the big thing that I was worried about was, you know, the first part of that race when you have to run the top, your left rears are in the slick so hard that you really abuse the left rear
more,
way harder than you want to, and then it's really hard to run the bottom when you do that. So that was my main concern. But, if you can start – when we started that second segment, if I just tried to not push the tires past the limit of spinning them, you know, for a lap or two, because sometimes you never get them back after that. You feather them, you get too much heat. You know, I don't know why that is, but that's an inherent problem everywhere we go anymore. So I just made sure I didn't abuse them too hard, and they were there for me at the end. But I had no concern for the right rear because we definitely didn't use it that hard.
Yeah, okay. I want to ask you, you mentioned after the race that Danny the Dude Lasoski, which is a guy here, we're from Kansas City, so we've been big Lasoski fans for a long time around here. He is the very best at working the bottom at Knoxville. Did he give you any advice, or does he give you any advice? You know, you're 10-time World of Outlaw champion. I don't know if you take advice from other drivers or not, but the Dude is pretty good at getting around the bottom there, and you mentioned him during your post-race press conference that you talked to the Dude. Talk about that a little bit, about Danny Lasoski and what he means about getting around the bottom of Knoxville Raceway.
Well, it's not just Knoxville Raceway. Danny's very good at Knoxville, always has been and always will be. He'd be one of the best to ever go around there. But, you know, I grew up racing around Danny, and he helped me a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
But he was that way a lot of places. Danny knew how to drive the tires within reason. It didn't matter whether it was at Williams Grove, Eldora. He kept the tires underneath him, and that's something you have to do any place you go to be consistent. And he's a World of Outlaw champion. So, you know, he's, like I said, he's someone that helped me a bunch. It was just so it was kind of ironic. The first thing I seen when I came off of turn four headed to the scales was him standing in the middle of the pit area just celebrating and fist pumping and looking right at me. And I kind of – you know, it kind of caught me off guard, because he's preached to me over the years, and I've listened, and, you know, now that he's not in the seat, you probably take a little more pride in those relationships that were built years ago and the things you learn from each other. So I think that, you know, he takes pride in it because we've had very similar driving styles and have helped each other along the way in a lot of areas. So, it was cool to see. It's definitely something that, you know, when you grow up as a kid and you idolize someone and you look up to someone and they help you and then you become friends and, you know, you become, it's like you not really work in conjunction with each other, but you respect each other's abilities enough to where you can bounce things off each other. It makes it a really cool scenario that not many people have. And I respect that. And I know he does as well.
Yeah. I got to ask you, Do you feel that the Jackson Nationals is too close to the Knoxville Nationals, or does that matter to you at all?
Oh, I don't know that it matters. You know, Jackson's doing everything they can to build up an event that's, it's obviously not going to be the Knoxville Nationals, but it's going to be the Jackson Nationals. And, you know, they've made improvements over the years. If you've never been to the facility is unbelievable.
Yeah, I've been there.
You know, and they keep changing things on the track to make the racing better. But, you know, obviously this year the timing of it changed. It changed the week after Knoxville. I'm not a promoter. You know, we're going to go to a race the week after Knoxville, regardless whether it's Jackson or wherever it's scheduled. So,
right.
You know, I don't know that that has a lot of bearing on it. Does it have a bearing on the fans? Well, it might possibly be, but you got to build on something. And if you looked, I think there was a couple cars that didn't head back east because they stayed for it. So, I mean, that's a sign that says, hey, we're going to stick around. And, you know, there's some decent money on the line. So, and it's only going to get better and better. So, it's really hard to say that it's too close to the Nationals because everything's too close to the Nationals.
Yeah. I hope I'm not out of line by asking you this, but I want to get your comments on these high limit races that Brad and Kyle are putting together. Your thoughts on that a little bit.
You know, I don't have any problem with it. First and foremost, when it was presented to everyone, it was presented as something that does not compete with the World of Outlaws.
Right.
It's not intended to cause a split. It's not intended to be a national series. It's an opportunity that Kyle had with Flo to be able to present some sprint car races that pay some more money. So it injects more money into the sprint car world. And, you know, you got to commend Kyle on, you know, saying, hey, we could have done late model races. We could have just done NASCAR driver races, and Kyle could have put a lot of money in his pocket, but he's trying to give back to the sport that he loves and to the group of racers that he loves, because if you compare sprint cars and late models race for a lot more money every weekend everywhere they go.
I know it.
But they also have several competing series against each other.
Yeah.
The sprint car series does not. The All-Star Series does not compete with the World of Outlaws on a national level. So they're a standalone platform. And, you know, the World of Outlaws needs to do some things to get up with the times. They, you know, the payoff structure's been the same for 15 plus years. The tow money structure's been the same. So it's funny that, you know, they want to have the ultimate competition on the racetrack every night, but then they don't want to have somebody to compete with against to make a better quality product of show. And I think that's great. I think the quality of product of show that the World of Outlaws has put out the last several years has diminished a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing but good to come out of it if they have a little competition and they have to work a little harder at it, because we have to do it every And so I'm you know, I'm pretty happy to see that somebody's trying to do something to, you know, put on some more big races. Does that mean that we're going to go run them? That's a bigger answer than what I can give you, because I drive for Tony Stewart, and he has a World of Outlaw team, but he also owns the All-Stars, and he's also been committed to the World of Outlaws for 20 years. So I don't see anything but good coming out of it. I think it's great. I wish we had the opportunity to run it, but unfortunately the way our contract reads as Platinum members right now, we would be penalized for doing it. And
right.
I hope that changes into the future, because it can help build the World of Outlaws brand too.
Yeah, no doubt. I saw a picture of you and Steve Kinzer talking after the Knoxville Nationals. Can you kind of give us a little insight in that conversation between you and Steve after that win?
Well, I don't know that there was a big long conversation, but there was a lot of respect for each other. Steve actually told me he was glad to see me win it. He was pulling for me, you know, and he's seen how we slipped at the beginning and got back up there. So, you know, I think when you get to, like, he's obviously stepped away from the sport and enjoying retirement, still around. I think when you've raced with someone like him and I have raced together a long time, and you're not there every day, and you see a new crowd of people that's there that you're not familiar with, or new young guys or new racers, I think it probably puts into a perspective that you probably pull for the guys that you raced against more often, that you had a little more interaction with versus people that you don't know. I think that just goes without saying. And I think that's all it really was. I mean, he was very respectful and very, gracious, and it's pretty cool to see someone like himself that excited and that motivated to come over and say something, you know, after the race was over. So it's definitely one of my finer moments of my career, for sure.
And finally, I want to wrap up with this. Did you notice how the fans kind of were pulling for you this year? You know, anybody but Shotch, we've seen that for years, right? But it seemed like the fans were pulling for Donnie Shotch this year. Did you notice that a little bit more?
I definitely seen that. You know, there was a lot more positive reaction than negative. And don't get me wrong, you got to have some negative reaction too, because that's how our country's founded on, people that believe in good and bad. So, you know, it was pretty incredible to see. You know, and I don't know that there's an answer to that other than, you know, we haven't been to Victory Lane there in a while. You know, maybe it's the fact we've struggled the last couple years and not given up. I don't know what it is, but it was great to see. You know, it's definitely more heartwarming to hear cheers than it is boos. But, you know, there's a lot of people that look forward to hearing boos because that means they're doing something right. But everybody takes it a different way. But I appreciate the fact that the fans were real gracious with it. And I look forward to the next one, and hopefully it's just as good.
Yeah. Donnie, we appreciate you taking the time to join us here on Mostly Motorsports. Hey, are you going to run the Chili Bowl? Do you know if you're going to do that? You know, we did the broadcast for 16 years here at Racing Boys. When's the next time you're going to run the Chili Bowl?
You know, I don't know what the right now. I'm just working on my schedule for Australia, and it looks like if I go to Australia, it's going to overlap the Chili Bowl. So that would probably be a no, but I'm working on that right now. I'm not 100% certain, but I do plan to go run the midget, you know, when opportunities present itself. I think we're going to run it one more time this year if everything lines up right, because I do have a little fun in it, and it helps to be a little bit more diverse. So
yeah.
We won't know that for a little bit yet.
Yeah. When's the next time you're going to drive your late model, by the way?
Well, I've kind of been sidelined with the late model because I got two nieces racing, and you know, we got sprint cars for them, the 305s, but one of them really wants to run the late model too. So that kind of took me out of the mix when she gets the opportunity to run it. And she gets to race both nights with us at the World of Outlaw events running my late model. So I'm kind of glad to get to watch her and focus on the sprint car. We're still not out of a championship hunt, so I think it's probably best that I let her do it and enjoy watching and focus on the sprint car until we get everything 110%.
All right, Donnie. Well, thanks again for taking the time to join us here on the show. We so appreciate it. Congratulations on your 11th Knoxville Nationals, and good luck to you the rest of the way with the World of Outlaws, my friend.
Thank you, Racing Boys.
All right, there you have it. There's Donnie Shotch joining us. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Sure, especially sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
39 whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back. Mostly Motorsports, all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. Look at there. Lucas Oil commercial running right behind us. You know this TV right here? This TV stays on MAV TV all the time, right? This is just MAV TV. So if you ever want to know what's going on in MAV TV, all you got to look is this TV right here. This TV is always on MAV TV, and we want to thank our good friends over at Lucas Oil for being great supporters of the Racing Boys for the last 12 years. We appreciate them so much. Austin, what'd you think of that interview there a little bit? What'd you think?
I thought it was really good. I think it's pretty cool hearing Donnie talk in a different tone than he has been. We know now that Donnie's kind of more open than he has been in the past handful of years. And, you know, I think that's, you know,
he's loosened up a little bit.
Yeah, and you know, it makes his interviews a little more personable. But, yeah. No, it's really cool to see, you know, how Donnie thinks and you know, kind of put yourself in Donnie's shoes and put yourself, you know, in somebody that's as good as he is, right? So to hear, you know, what he has to say is, for any racer, is, you know, just everything to you, right? So, yeah, I always enjoy hearing Donnie talk. You always learn something.
Where do you rank Donnie Schatz when it comes to all-time greatest drivers? Is he number two?
All-time, I mean,
there's a lot of great drivers that have come and gone, right, over the years.
I think it's tough for me to say that because I'm so young. You know,
you weren't around for the old guys.
I didn't experience Steve in his heyday. I didn't experience, you
well,
know,
Steve
Don.
Is the king.
Yeah, I didn't experience,
there's,
like,
nobody going to replace him,
you know,
at the top.
Wolfgang or Sammy or, you know, guys like that in their prime, or Mark Kinzer. But
stat-wise, though, he's got to be number two.
You know, if you go off stats, yes, he's, you know, number two, number three, you know, area. But if you're just going to, you know, off your personal opinion, I'd say he's you know, in the top five of greatest all time, or, you know, of his maybe generation, or, you know, when we see him, like, in, like, my generation, you know, looking at guys who are racing full-time, I think he'd be number one.
Yeah, I would have to put Steve Kinser one, Donnie Schatz two, and then I would have to go, gosh, it gets really tough when you get past those two guys, right? Because, you know, you got Sammy, you got Jan Opperman. There's so many good drivers that have raced. Huh? Wolfgang. There's so many different guys that were so good over the years. It's hard to – I would it's really hard for me to separate from third on back and try to separate a Wolfgang, a Jan Opperman, a Sammy Swindell, you know, a Weld brother maybe that was really good up there at Knoxville Raceway. Kenny Weld, you got to think about him a little bit. Who do you think is number three? Can you pick one, Austin?
No. I'm not going to go down that.
Because you're just not old enough.
I wouldn't know. I mean, I would have to go through there and just, you know, pull up every stat I can find on, you know, the guys, like, in the top 10 of, you know, the World of Outlaw win list and really trying to determine there. But still, I mean, you look at that, and there's probably guys that, you know, belong in the top 10 that aren't on that stat list.
Yeah. All right. So there's some pretty good racing going on this weekend. They've got USAC Sprint Car Smackdown. It starts tonight, right? Isn't it tonight it starts? At Kokomo?
Yes, it starts tonight. I want to give a shout-out to my buddy Riley Kreisel.
He's going?
He's making his Jack Yaley debut, or Jack Yaley Racing debut, tonight at Kokomo. So that should be really interesting to see how he does in Cactus Jack's car. But, yeah, it should be a good night.
I believe that's going to pay $15,000 to win on Saturday night, isn't it? I believe it is.
I believe so.
I think it's $15,000 to win.
It's usually a pretty good payout.
Yeah, and I think the first night it's going to pay like $1,500 to win on the first night. So what are you looking forward to seeing more this weekend? I'm kind of looking forward to watching the World of Outlaw Late Models run up at Davenport Speedway, the Quad Cities 150. You know, I just kind of like the late models now. You know, I was never a big, you know, growing up as a kid, going to Lakeside Speedway in Riverside, late models were the thing. You know, the thing about it, Kansas City Racing, if you wanted to watch sprint cars, you had to go to Knoxville. Or you had to go to Marshall. Or maybe you went down to Sedalia. But they didn't run them weekly out at Lakeside Speedway and Riverside Stadium. They didn't run them out there. So we were stuck with late models. So I'm kind of regressing back to my late model days. And do you enjoy watching the late models, Austin?
Yeah, they usually put on a pretty good show. I just, I kind of feel like you sometimes. I'm just, I'm so caught up in
sprint cars, right?
In my sprint car stuff. And I feel like that's where I should be anyways, just because, you know, that's what I'm currently involved in, and I need to have, it's ever changing every day. So, you know, I need to have my full focus in there and, you know, and try and, you know, keep up with the times.
Yeah. What is going on over there? Are you dropping things?
I'm throwing stuff.
You're throwing things around over there. Okay. So the World of Outlaws are going to return to River City Speedway this Friday night. How long has it been since they've been? Do you know that? I have no idea. Last year they were there last year.
Yes, that's their, you know, annual trip up. They've been going for probably 20 some odd years now, I think, to River Cities with the Outlaws.
Well, we also want to remind everybody that they need to get up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum to see the Ascot tribute that's going on right now. It's going to be going on through October 1st. And they've got videos. They got driver uniforms. They've got helmets. They've got memorabilia from Ascot Park. And they've got all kinds of great race cars up there. I've told you this many times over the last few days that Jimmy Oskey's old paint sprint car is my favorite car because it's unrestored. It's the original old paint that's on this race car, and I like nothing more than patina on old race cars. I think it's so cool. They got a Pernelli Jones Turkey Night Midget there as well. Dean Thompson's number two sprint car is there. So get up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum before October 1st and check out the great tribute to Ascot Park. And while you're up there, buy you a sprint car raffle ticket as well. They've got a complete 410 sprint car that they're going to be giving away, and they're going to be doing that on Friday, December 16th. And they're giving you $25,000 on top of the sprint car so you can pay the taxes on it as well. If you can't make it up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in person, you can always do it online at sprintcarraffle.com. That's sprintcarraffle.com. Make sure you buy some raffle tickets for this sprint car, folks. The Corvette is gone. Goodbye. Guy in Illinois won that car, and congratulations to him. But they still have the sprint car, and they're going to be giving that thing away again on Friday, December 16th. And again, if you can't get up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum and do it in person, you can always do it online at sprintcarraffle.com. Austin, have you bought any tickets for that sprint car?
I need to. I haven't yet.
You need to do that. Yeah, for sure. All right, so tomorrow's going to be Phone Friday. Listen, I'm a little disappointed in the fans that haven't been calling in on Phone Friday. I don't know why we can't. We've got great listeners. We've got some of the most loyal people that chime in every day. We need people like you to call in on the show and just talk about anything. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it's motorsports even. We'll talk about anything. You know, I like to talk about what's on TV sometimes. I can't do that with Austin because he doesn't watch TV. He doesn't watch TV at all. So, Tammy said, I'm with you, Scott. I have really gotten into the late models over the last few years, but still a diehard sprint car fan at heart. I'm with you, Tammy, 100%. Sprint cars is what my passion is for. And the real question is, Donnie will catch Sammy on the World of Outlaw win list. Do you think he will? I don't know what the difference is. Do you?
Donnie's just...
How many is he behind?
Donnie's just a little over 300, and Sammy's at 394. So
I don't think he'll catch
about 90 wins. I mean, that's going to be
I don't think
really
that's
tough. I would love to see Donnie pull it off, but I don't know. If he needs to go back to winning, you know, his, you know, 10 races a year like he was, you know, 5-6 years ago to possibly pull it off. But, you know, this year and last year on the wins just haven't been that well, and it's kind of hurt his, you know, hurt his run to second place in the all-time win list.
Caleb says Donnie's at 302, Sammy is at 394. I don't see that happening, do you? It would
no.
be a miracle for him to catch
I hope. Him. I'd like to see it happen, I just don't know. Yeah. I don't think so.
Yeah. We need to get Sammy on the show one day. Sammy's been pretty good to the Racing Boys over the years, so maybe we'll try to get him on the show one day. All right, thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Tomorrow, again, is Phone Friday. We hope that you'll call in. Please do. Kirk Elliott's going to sit in with us. Austin O'Neill's going to be hanging out with us. We'll take your phone calls tomorrow right here on Mostly Motorsports, and we can't thank you enough for being here every day watching the show. You know who you are. You're the regular guys on the chat room, and we appreciate you so much. For Austin O'Neill, for my partner Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor saying thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow at 12 noon Central Time right here on Mostly Motorsports. Again, it's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system, pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.